WLFE DB Radio.
Are you ready?
Live from the Metal Mayhem Studios in Rochester, New York.
We are gold.
And heard around the world by metalheads just like you. This is Metal Mayhem ROC.
Heavy metal music.
Your weekly dose of metal music, interviews, album reviews, news, and more.
Want to be part of the show?
Send us a message through our website,
MetalMayhemROC.com.
Or hit us up on Facebook and Twitter.
Search Metal Mayhem ROC.
It's getting nice and heavy.
And now, welcome tonight's host, John the Vernomatic Verno.
Good evening, everybody. As always, Thursday nights, new content drops. We invite you to visit the spanking new MetalMayhemROC.com website. There you'll have direct links to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, however you consume your metal content. While you're there, do us a favor. Subscribe to the newsletter. This is our chance to stay in touch with you with everything for the show, new content, giveaways, links to all our radio shows. It's your one-stop shopping. Tonight, we have a fun one. We're specializing in profiling some old-school metal and some new-school metal. Later in the show, we'll have Missouri Metal Thrashers Gravehuffer, and Richie from the band is here talking about what the band's up to, some touring plans for the summer, and just general metal conversation. It's a good time. But first, we're going overseas, and we have Metal Harry from the 80s Pioneers, Mad Butcher. They have a new special reunion. So let's get them on the show from Germany, Metal Harry. Hey, Harry, welcome to Metal Mayhem ROC. How are you, buddy?
Hey, folks. I'm really fine. John, yeah, it's incredible. It's really close to midnight here, but we're really excited for the reunion gig after 30 years. 30 years, we're back on stage for one reunion show here in the Ruhrpott area. So, first of all, I have to apologize my English. I'm from Germany, of course. Oh. I do my best. And I hope everybody could understand me.
Metal Harry, you sound fantastic, man. I hear better English from you than some Americans that we speak with. So congratulations. Let's circle back. So you're having a reunion show tomorrow, a concert, correct?
That's right. And the main thing, we are original, was when we started a four-piece band, two guitars, bass, and vocals was my turn, and a drummer, of course. And from that, the original band, there will be three or four original members who will join that show. And we come from the early days, you know, the really old school heavy metal, like the new wave of British heavy metal.
Yep,
we
yep.
Start, I told you, in 1981. So we were influenced, of course, by the really old English bands and the American bands who start at that period. And but when we quit, there was a complete different time, and nobody asked at that time for our music. And that is the crazy thing overall, that after so many years, like decades, three decades, now there is an interest of Mad Butcher. When I start working on the project to bring Mad Butcher back on the scene, like first with albums, I have 44 friends on Facebook. Mm-hmm. 44. Right now, I'm nearly 3,800. And this is for a small band who was away for such a long time. I think it's really crazy.
Well, you definitely put the work in. You've gotten the word out there. Metal Harry, let me ask you, why do you feel the resurgence in interest in Mad Butcher?
Now, you see, I'm being in the music scene, of course, all over the years. I join concerts, I buy records, I've been in the scene the whole time. But what I hear now from there is two different types of fans, I think. The old fans who believe in the old stuff. They like Iron Maiden, AC/DC, Metallica, or maybe the 70s giants, Led Zeppelin, Black Sabbath, Deep Purple. And on the other hand, there are the new kids. They may get the records noticed of their fathers, maybe. So tomorrow I expect two different kinds of the audience. On the other hand, the old guys, old guys rule. And on the other hand, really young people, in the 20s maybe. And because they want to know about the original start of the scene. What happened in 1981, 1982, 1983.
Oh,
so
sure.
There are so many bands sure. come out, and I think that is the reason. And now, when you hear the modern heavy metal outputs, it's always the same. It's triggered drums. It's boring. There's nothing come out special. The sound was pitched in the high, yeah, and like you have the most of the singers, they scream like hell. So I will die for you. Yeah, they put off the shirt and say, yeah, we're strong, heavy metal. Yeah, and this is, I think it's a little kind of boring, because when you see five bands in a row, the three bands look similar, play similar. Of course, they play fast. But I think what the people like right now, songs. And if you hear the songs of Matt Butcher, there's so many influences in, so it's not boring. It's not one song and the next song is the same, like always double bass drum, and it's not a construction. It's come from the heart. It's really what we hear at that time, and we get influenced by any kind of metal or hard rock or heavy rock, and we try, of course, to follow these idols, the bands I told you, and of course the really little bands, and they come from England to the Netherlands or to Germany to play in small clubs like Angel Witch or Jaguar,
yep,
or Acid from Belgium, and like or a Killer from Belgium. There were small bands, but they go in the Dynamo, for of course, maybe you've heard about the Dynamo Festival. It was before Wacken. It was the biggest festival on the European country. There was 120,000 people, just metalheads. It was in Eindhoven, Netherlands. And we get in touch with the promoter of that festival. So we never made it to the festival, but we made it, of course, to the Netherlands.
yeah, right. Mad Butcher, the show tomorrow night. What music are you going to be playing from it? The three or four albums, Metal Lightning Attack, Metal Heat.
Four Dots Only.
Just those two?
Yeah. You see, what I recognized in the last 2 years, that our debut, the Metal Lightning Attack from 1985, gets the highest response by the fans. So there are 10 songs on the original vinyl album, and we will play from that album 8 songs. So nearly the whole album. We play 6 songs of the Metal Meat album, and 4 songs from the Four Dots Only. In my opinion, the Four Dots Only, I told you, it was the unreleased album from 88, 89. At that period, we do the production,
yeah,
in the studio. And at that time, I think it was a peak of Matt Butcher on technical and songwriting. It was the peak for us. But for the fans, the debut album is still the state of the art, what the people like. Everybody who gets the album and call me via Facebook, and I ask, what is your favorite track about Matt Butcher? Tell me. So, and I follow it over a year right now. So, and I get the 10 most requested songs, and a number one, of course, it's Run for Your Life. But there's one reason. Here in Europe, we have, of course, a lot of internet radio stations like yours, and they play Run for Your Life. for me in person, it's the best song Matt Butcher ever made. Run for Your Life, it's on the Four Dots Only album. So on this show tomorrow, we play 8 songs from the debut, 6 from the Metal Meet, 4 from the Four Dots Only, and of course, a cover.
All right. Well, so, well, best of luck with it. Is this being documented? Video is.
Yeah. We get a film crew who will film the whole show with, I think, 4 cameras.
Okay.
But you see, we don't have enough. We want to do maybe a live DVD. That was what we have in mind. So it's perfect timing, I think.
It is perfect timing. Harry, best of luck with the reunion show. Props to you on, you know, sticking to your guns and keeping the metal alive.
Thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciate your support.
You got it, my friend.
Thank you very much, John. Stay safe and take care. Stay metal. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye, Harry. Thank you.
Hey! Listen up.
Now get that popcorn ready and grab a seat.
Do it!
As the Vernomatic presents this week's feature interview, exclusively here on Metal Mayhem ROC.
Today we have an interesting and exciting interview. We have Richie Randall, guitarist of the Missouri band Gravehuffer. 2021 saw them release their new album, Necroclosion. Band is on Black Doomba Records. Just discovered this band a little while ago through a joint interview from Lady Red on the Metal Devastation radio website and radio show. So I decided, hey, let's get these guys on here, see what they're all about. So I'm going to bring in Richie right now. He's sitting in the waiting room. And here he comes, Richie Randall. Hey, Richie, welcome to Metal Mayhem. How are you, man?
Pretty good, John. How are you? Thanks for having me, dude.
Yeah, you're welcome. So, like I said in the intro, not that familiar with the band. I've been doing show research, getting into some of your releases. I like what I hear. It's, hey, man, it's a kaleidoscope of sounds. You know, you got crossover, you got metal, you got this, you got that. And it's like I said, a nice buffet of what's going on.
Thanks, man.
So give us a brief history of the band, where you're from, and what makes Gravehuffer huff.
Well, my name's Richie Randall. I've been playing guitar for probably about 30 years or so. Gravehuffer, yeah. Myself and our bass player, Mike Gilgi, and our original drummer, Larry Deardorff, we were in a band in the 90s called Initial Detonation, which was kind of like a crust punk crossover kind of, I don't know what you want to call it, but we're a little all over the map as well. And So we have some chemistry prior to Gravehuffer, and they had actually got back together in 2006 under another name. And then Mike was playing guitar. So he was like, I'm not digging this guitar stuff. So he's like, I'm going to switch to bass and I'm going to give my buddy Richie a call. And so that's basically what happened in 2008. And they called me up, and the rest is history as far as that goes. We were originally called Crom from the Conan the Barbarian movies.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, Arnold, Conan's deity or his god, you know, he'd always go Crom. And so that's kind of where that came from. But Gravehuffer, I think it was 2012. Yeah, 2012 when we changed the name. There were a lot of other Crom bands out there, and we were getting confused with like raps artists and bands from Italy and all over. I mean, there was a ton of them, and then we didn't really know this at the time, so we there was a tornado that hit Joplin, where we're from, Joplin, Missouri. It was in 2011, and it just really threw a wrench into things. You know, I lost my house, and it was a mess. But so we took a hiatus for probably 7 or 8 months. And when we got back together, our bass player, Mike's like, we ought to change the name of the band, you know, before we really get going. Because we released one record under the Crom moniker. And, you know, it did okay, but we didn't have much of a presence online or anything yet. We were just playing local shows and stuff for those first few years. I mean, although we did open for DRI, Death Angel, we had a couple of pretty cool gigs, but we weren't we weren't playing like real, real far away or anything. So when we changed the name to Gravehuffer, we still played the old Crom stuff. It's the same band. We just changed the name. And the the Gravehuffer name came from a friend of ours who was going to use it for his band that never really got going. And we always thought, that's a killer name. You know, like it's so, it's wild, you know, it's so unique. And so we just asked him, hey, Dozer, can we use your Gravehuffer name since you're not going to use that anymore? And he's like, oh, yeah, sure. Just give me a throw me a free T-shirt every once in a while. And so so that's that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's kind of the deal.
It is a cool name. It's like, first of all, you know, in the metal arena, there are bands with Grave Digger and this and that. Yeah. But Gravehuffer.
Right.
It's.
Yeah. You know, yeah, that Huff name, you know. We've had people ask if we're like a big druggy band because of the Huff name, you know. I'm like, no, not really. I mean, you know, everybody kind of smokes weed or whatever, but you know, it's just a cool, we just thought it sounded cool. And it kind of took on a life of its own because we have a song called Gravehuffer now. And it was on our first like Gravehuffer, well, I guess our second Gravehuffer release, Your Fault. It kicks off the record. And DJ Thunderhead, actually from Metal Death Station Radio, he put together the sound effects for the beginning and the end of the record, and so that was really cool to work with him on that. And but yeah, Gravehuffer took on.
Mike's a good guy.
Oh yeah, dude, he's awesome. Mike and Grace are the reason that I got on the MDR. You know, so they somehow got a hold of one of our songs and asked us to hop in chat. And I was like, I've never been in a radio chat room before. You know, this was like 2014 or 15, something like that.
Yeah.
It's been a while back. And Metal Devastation was pretty new at the time. And so I've been there for a while. And the, man, it's, they've been some of our biggest supporters. Hell, you know, DJ Martin on Wednesdays, he does, he's a DJ on one of our newer songs, Death Before Disco. It's like, him introducing to the crowd the hottest sensation of the disco, you know, and like he's the, it's hilarious.
Oh, wow, that's cool. Yeah.
He's introducing the band, like, and we play a cover, we play a snippet of a Bee Gees song. And
I saw that.
Yeah. And so it's Martin introducing us, and our bass player, Mike, like, he'd always wanted to do that. So he'd been wanting to do that whole Death Before Disco thing since the initial Detonation days in the late 90s. And he's been harassing us about it forever. And he finally learned that Bee Gees bass line. And so we're like, well, shit, we got to do it now. So,
well, I was just commenting, Metal Devastation has its fingerprint all over Gravehuffer.
Oh, yeah.
The 100th Thunderhead Show, Mike and Gracie.
Yep.
And, well, great. You know what? That's part of the reason why I took my talents to MDR at the end of 2021. I love them. All right, well, let's talk about the band, your influences.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you're all over the place with, you know, some of the crossover and, you know, some of the older death metal and whatnot, Crumbsuckers, DRI.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, I'm in my early to mid-50s.
Yeah, so is our bass player.
Yeah, so we went through all that, and back in the 80s, that stuff was, it was like a distant cousin of metal.
It was.
A lot of... You know, the Offspring, the Nuclear Assault, the SODs, and then you had Crumbsuckers, Bucky Pop, and, you know.
Oh, my gosh, I mean, that's like, that's our, those are our formative years, you know. Like, that was like, all that stuff was new back then, so it was totally a huge influence.
Is that what you feel, personally, your roots are in?
Yeah, that is a big part, is the crossover and the thrash and like hardcore punk and stuff like Black Flag and early Suicidal Tendencies and like and Circle Jerks and all the bands you were talking about. DRI is a huge one. But then, you know, we got like traditional metal, like Judas Priest is a huge influence on me. And you know, I like the old death metal, like your, you know, Morbid Angel's like probably one of my favorites. You know, Obituary and, you know, Deicide, Cannibal Corpse and, you know, all that stuff, you know, I was like huge to me. And then there's stuff like even, you know, with Godflesh and, you know, there, it's a lot of that early Earache record stuff, you know, that was huge. And, So yeah, I think you're pretty much hitting the nail on the head there. I feel like I'm more of the metal guy, and Mike, our bass player, is more of the punk guy. And then our singer, you know, he's into stuff like Frank Zappa and all this like weird stuff. And so, I mean, it's just, yeah, we're kind of all over the place. So yeah, you pretty much nailed it.
Well, I'll give you some quick observations after listening to some of your music.
Yeah.
The song Causes.
Yeah.
It's a little different than the Ghost Dance, but I noticed like second half of the song that, you know, it's just chugging along, chugging along, and the vocals are, well, I'm trying to say, it's a nice blend. It's it's different. And it,
part of that is songs like you're mentioning, like Causes, you know, it's like really fast, like punk rock, and then it does get more metal and it starts freaking trumpet and trombone at the end and stuff, and you know, it is, everybody that's heard that's always like, man, that's pretty cool, you know. we got a friend that, you know, I actually work for a university here, and he is one of the not band directors, but I think he teaches trombone in the band for Missouri Southern, and we got him to play horns on a few of the songs, Death Before Disco, Causes, and Mad Wolf. He plays on our upcoming record we're working on too. And I don't know, we just kind of feel like if it sounds cool, then why not, you know? That's kind of always that's been our approach all the time. And usually if songs have like, oh, there's a metal section and a punk section, usually that means we've collaborated. like Mike wrote something and then I wrote something, and to us it's like super obvious. And some people are picking up on it though, like you yourself, you know, you seem to pick up on that. And I think part of it is like we were talking about our ages, and you know, we've listened to lots of music, and when you grow up in a time when all those types of music are new, it just has a profound impact. So I think that's why it sticks with us.
I see some collaborations.
Yeah.
Chewy from Voivod, yes. And Curran from Annihilator.
Yeah.
How did that come about? It's not a regional thing.
Yeah, I know, right?
are you label mates? Did you just become friends with them?
Explain
that.
How did that happen? Well, Chewy, gosh, I think I just messaged him and then just point blank asked him. Like we even had on the previous record, we had Carlo Regattas, who was in Carcass, play a solo. I can't remember exactly how that all came about, but I think I just messaged him just out of the blue kind of thing, and just basically said, hey, I'm in this band, would you want to do a solo on a song? And it's about Buzz Aldrin and the space program. And he was like, oh yeah. He was like really excited about it, and he is a super nice guy, super easy to work with. And the solo he turned in, like he played multiple parts on it and like these weird harmonies and stuff, and I mean, I was almost in tears when I heard it, because I was like, this is fucking amazing. So yeah, it was awesome. And so and he's even put the invite out for us to jam with Voivod and when they're in the area, and so we're like trying to figure that out. But and then Curran, he actually builds my amplifiers for me. And Custom Audio Mutation, it's a company he's had for probably 5 or 6 years now. And he's got a studio, he's got a shop. And anytime we play Ohio, we stay at his house. And
I was going to say, where's he located? It's
Akron, Ohio.
Okay.
And he was in Annihilator. He's on 3 or 4 records. And he was also a touring guitarist for Nevermore. And so he's got lots of cool, interesting stories about those bands.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course.
So yeah, I mean, it's a cool guy. And like I said, he builds my amps. And I actually got to know him through the amps before anything else. And then he was wanting to record us in his studio, but we just couldn't commit to basically getting over there. And so I asked him, like, hey, what would you think about laying down a solo on a song? He's like, oh, hell yeah. And so he did the solo for Stronger Than Death, which is about, or Smaller Than Death, sorry, which is about Andre the Giant. We wrote that about Andre after watching his HBO documentary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw that. That was something.
Oh my gosh. It was, yeah. I mean, it's like, you don't realize.
Sad.
It really is. Like, you don't realize how hard of a life he had. Yeah. And so that was basically the inspiration for that. But Kerrang was really cool to do that. His solo is multiple parts too, and it's just shredding all the way through.
Now, the collaboration with Chewy, was that remote?
Yes, yes.
And was it a COVID? It was COVID time. You're recording it.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't in COVID, would there have been a chance to, like, where is he? Montreal?
Yes, he is. Montreal area. Yeah. I don't know. Probably still would have been, because I think they were getting ready to record that new Synchro Anarchy album right before he did that solo, like, I think a week or two before they started tracking, because he even told me all this stuff. And so it was kind of cool getting a little inside scoop on what Voivod was doing. I kind of had to keep my mouth shut. So, I mean, of course, now it's not a big deal. But yeah, it was pretty cool. And we went back and forth, oh, gosh, probably 3 or 4 different times about, we'd send him some things. And he was like, well, what are you guys hearing? And we're like, we was telling him to, like, you do your thing. We asked you because we like your style, you know? And so when he, you know, played this, gave us a solo, we're like, that's exactly what we wanted. And then some.
Now, when Gravehoffer records, obviously you're probably all together because you're local.
Yeah.
Did you ever have any experience with remote stuff prior to that? And did you pull anything out of it that maybe would open the door for more reaching out to other artists? Like, hey, man, you know, it worked once. Why wouldn't it work again? You know, let's give Zach Wilde a call, see if he'd lay down a riff.
Right.
Or, not Zach, you know, but you know what I'm saying. Yeah, it's
you just never know. I mean, that's a really great question, because it was funny what I was getting ready to say. It segues perfectly into what I was getting ready to say. We do our upcoming record we're working on is it's not all about Dante's Divine Comedy, but one song, it's like half the record. It's like a 20-plus minute song, and we've got some special guests on it. Cam Lee from Massacre, I don't know if you've heard of them or not, but
no, I haven't.
Okay, he sings on it, like a pretty large section. And have you heard of James Murphy from Testament and Death and Obituary? And he's gonna play a solo on it.
Oh, cool.
And we've got friends of our I got a friend of mine that I've known since like junior high. She plays cello on it. Like our friend Doug that played on Necro Eclosion plays horns on it. And it's not like a new direction or anything. We just kind of had to get it out of our system, because we've talked about doing our quote unquote Rush 2112 song forever. You know, we've kind of wanted to do a song that takes up one side of the record, because we're all big prog rock fans. And we just kind of wanted to, I don't know if we wanted to prove to ourselves that we could do it, but everybody that's heard it so far is like completely blown away. We're on Black Doomba Records, and Tommy Stewart is the label guy. And I don't know if you've heard of Hallow's Eve or not.
Hallow's Eve. Yeah. Death and Insanity and Hallow's Eve. Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, I'll say Dupa's Tommy's label.
Yeah.
Up here in Rochester, New York, we have a couple podcasts.
Okay.
That, Grim Dystopian. They handle.
Oh, dude, I love them. I've done interviews with them.
Oh, okay, yeah. So they did the inter. That's how I discovered them. Even though, you know, we live 5 minutes away.
Wow.
When they yeah. Well, the metal community.
That's
you
so
know?
Awesome.
But they were, that's when I heard the Tommy interview.
Okay.
And this was a few years ago.
Yeah.
And now that we're putting the pieces together because he was talking about
Black Doomba, we're on Black Doomba and Tommy's label. And, you know, he was on, you know, Hallow's Eve, you know, pretty big deal. He's on Metal Blade, dude toured with Slayer and Motorhead. And Tommy's always got stories about the good old days, you know. So we'll sit back and listen to Paul talk about the old school metal. But Tommy and his drummer Dennis listened to the Dante thing, and Tommy was like, I mean, he was just like, he's kept saying, holy shit, oh my God, you know, I mean, he was just like, he couldn't believe it. And so I'm like, oh man, you know. it's like it's an amazing feeling, but it makes you nervous a little bit too. I don't know why, but Tommy, he plays on it. Actually, he plays some cool bass stuff on it, and his drummer Dennis does some cool percussion on it. And another kind of cool deal was I got to play a Hollow's Eve song with Tommy on the last run of shows we did with them in January. We played Metal Merchants, and let me tell you,
yeah.
I haven't been that nervous in shit, I'd say 10 years or more. I mean,
because you're with Tommy.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's like, why are you so nervous? I'm like, I've never played this song before. It was like, we're talking about the remote thing. I had to learn it remotely. I never rehearsed it with them. And luckily I didn't fuck up. So it actually went over really cool. And the crowd was like, went wild. Everybody was started moshing and stuff. And I'm like, yay.
In your assessment, do you think the crowd knew the song?
Yes. Yes, most of the crowd actually did know that song. And so, I mean, Hollow's Eve, they do pretty well for Tommy. I mean, I think from what he tells me, they still he doesn't promote it that much. I mean, not near as much as what he's doing now with Direwolf. And he's like, dude, he goes, the streams and the records sell out, and he goes, it just kind of blows my mind how the legacy that they still have. So, I mean, I think it's great for him.
Come on, that album was almost 40 years ago.
Right.
But it's the new generations going back and finding that.
Yeah.
And it's had a rebirth. And it's not just, you know, the old guys discovering it. It's
right.
The younger metalheads. A lot of what we do up here is, you know, at Metal Mayhem ROC, we try to, you know, educate the younger people on, you know, the history, but yet the old school on new school.
Right.
You know, it's a two-way street. It's like, it's like, dude, you know, yeah, we all love the vintage stuff, but there's just tons of new stuff that, you know, expand your palate.
Right, exactly.
So,
yeah.
So when it comes to the old, let me ask you, Richie, that older stuff as a musician, when you play it, this is not so much harder, but it's just almost sometimes simpler.
Well, yeah, when I had to learn that Metal Merchants, and I was like, oh, okay, that's a weird spot for a change. You know, like, wow, he's doing that there. It was... it's to the point in a way, but there were also this crazy amount of creativity in the way they arrange things. And that's kind of what took me aback at first. I was like, man, they really there just wasn't much music like that back then. And it just blew my mind how, like, Tommy's like, oh, it's really easy. I was like, yeah, you've played it for 40 years.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, like, I was a nervous wreck, but after playing it, after I'd say probably about 30 seconds, I was like off to the races.
I'm not a musician, so I can't relate to that.
Right.
That's why I asked you as a musician, you as a new artist, you know, trying to play the old stuff.
Yeah.
Back then, Tommy and those bands, they didn't have Pro Tools.
Right.
They didn't have computers. Mm-hmm. It was still blade and tape editing.
Right.
So when the writing process came, it was in the room jamming.
Right.
It's just hours and hours.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that spirit of the music comes from.
Right.
Now, seeing that you've been into, you know, learning that with Tommy and doing that, do you take any of those ideas and almost bring them to the Gravehoffer rehearsal room, if you will?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We've been recording the other part of this album, the I hate calling it traditional, but like, I guess the more typical way we would write, because the Dante thing was way different. You know, it was a completely different process. But these other songs, it was more of how we would just get together and just jam stuff out. Because normally we would rehearse, what we do normally is we rehearse for a show or, rehearse the set, and then we just start jamming. And whatever comes out of those jams, you know, somebody always has their phone available or whatever, and we'll just record. Oh, that's cool. And when the room lights up, then we'll jam on that. Well, where does it, you know, and then one of us will be like, oh, I hear this here or this here. And so, yeah, we definitely write that way. We don't typically write in, like, in our bedroom or in the living room, like just laying down riffs. I mean, we do that too. I mean, it's kind of a combination of all those things, but I feel like some of the best stuff is the stuff that we collaborate on as a band. And even if we do bring in individual ideas, that stuff, it's like clay. That's the band kind of molds it and adjusts it and okay, we're gonna put some paint on it or whatever to make it a slightly different, or a different picking style, or maybe move this chord down one fret, or you know, whatever the case is, whatever everybody hears.
Well, that's the creative process,
yeah,
in the Gravehoffer way.
Yeah. Well, Necro Eclosion was a little bit more just a cut. The way we kind of had to do that was pandemic times, and so it will be just one or two of us together at a time, and then another couple of the guys, to different guys together at a time. And so we were just trying to be real careful. And and then the whole Dante thing, it was way different. Like I had probably 50 to 100 riffs on my phone, and what the concept was okay, write something that makes you think of Dante's Inferno, of being in hell. And so,
yeah. So
I mean, that's basically how that came about. And then Paradise was definitely the hardest, because it's like, oh, I got to write about heaven. Like, you know, still be intense and metal or whatever, you know, that was very difficult. It's probably the hardest thing we've ever had to do, at least for me. And I think when people hear it, they're going to be like, man, that's pretty different, guys. So
we're talking with Richie Randall, guitarist of Gravehoffer, the 2021 album Necro Eclosion. What's the touring plans? Are you getting back on the road? Are you on the road?
Yep.
Coming to Rochester at all? You ever play Rochester?
No. We're going to be playing. I think the closest we'll be playing there is Teaneck, New Jersey. I mean, that's kind of across the state. We're playing a New Jersey Metal Fest. It's July 9th.
I think we're closer to Akron than we are New Jersey.
Yeah, probably. We're playing in Canton the night after at the Buzz Bin. Yeah.
What's your routing situation like? Do you handle it?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I'm trying to find a booking agent, but there's one guy I'm talking to named Nick Harris, I believe. He's from, I think of the name, Atomic Sound or something. I can't remember the name exactly, but he's booked some friends of ours, one of them called Yatra from Maryland, and Horseburner from West Virginia. And they're more of the doom scene. The people that we met when we played Maryland Doom Fest last year. And that was really cool, because we made some good contacts through that. And not to mention, it was an awesome show, and they had a Maryland Doomfest beer that was amazing. But it's weird. Like, we played several like breweries and distilleries in the last couple of years, and so I mean, we're not like a big drinking band, but I mean, we'll have one or two, and it's always nice to drink the beers that are like different and have a unique flavor to them, or local, or to me, more, I don't know, more adventurous and cool. You know, I don't know. It's kind of like the band, you know, we try to be a little more adventurous. And so, yeah, like you said, like you were asking about routing. Yeah. We do all that ourselves, and we typically do all these, Mike likes to call them ninja runs. We'll go on like 3 or 4 days. We'll hit like here coming up, we're doing a couple of dates in Wisconsin. We're playing Wisconsin Rapids and, I'm probably butchered this, Wausau. I don't know how you say it, but it's just north of Wisconsin Rapids, about 70 miles. We're playing some shows with Tommy and his band and Grave Next Door, and then some locals from the area. And then we're doing a Colorado run at the end of May. We're playing like 4 or 5 shows. And then we're going to hit Ohio, New Jersey, when I was telling you in the 1st of July.
Yeah.
Then we're doing like some Indiana shows in September. And so, July, we're also doing New Orleans and Arkansas. And so, I mean, we just kind of like, it's weird how we have to do it with everybody's jobs. So we can't really do like these 2-week schleps or anything. We kind of have to do weekend warrior type stuff, but you know, it works really well.
Well, you know, we've dabbled in some club promoting up here.
Oh, really?
We brought Last in Line to town.
Oh, shit.
Promoted a couple of Dawkins shows.
I love Dawkins.
Well, this was, actually, it was a good turnout, but that was those were pre-COVID.
Oh, was George Lynch playing?
Chris McAllister on bass,
John Levin.
Oh God, yes, Levin. John Levin. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. So we saw one of the last shows we promoted with Doc, and was one of the last shows Wild Mick Brown played with.
Oh man, nice. I love Mick. He's awesome.
But the point I was making is, I think with the combination of Metal Mayhem ROC and Grim Dystopian, and the record archive, you got a big metal contingency there. You know, you could get a show at the Montage or something. Right. And
isn't Nuclear Assault in that area or something?
Yeah. Danny Lilker.
Yeah.
Danny Lilker. He's
our bass player. He's like our bass player. His three favorite bass players are Danny Lilker, Shane Embury, and Geezer Butler. So, I mean, he would fucking shit if Danny was anywhere close.
But Danny, go down to the street, see him right now.
Right.
He's always here.
Right.
And, a couple of retirements. Said they were wrapping up the Nuclear Assault camp.
Yeah, I saw Danny had said something about this might be the last U.S. stuff they're doing. Because they're playing a Game Over or something, right?
Yeah, that Game Over in its entirety.
Yeah.
And I just saw something about the end of the Maryland Metal Fest.
I saw that too.
Well, it was weird because they said this year and then next year's definitely out. How do you take a year off and, come back? It's it's tough. So.
Mm.
So again, you got the 4 or 5 dates, and then sporadic. What'd you call it? Kamikaze or
ninja?
Ninja.
Yeah, it's just like these dates. ninja runs. You know, we just do 3 or 4 dates, and we usually do a couple a month. You know, and so we'll play, 7, 8 shows a month, and starting March, April, all the way through September, and then when it gets cooler, we usually don't play out as much, especially north. Just to be safe, but sometimes we'll go south. Like we did Texas in January. We did 4 shows in Texas, and that was amazing. It was really fun. We played a record store / brewery, and that was in particular that one was amazing.
If you're playing to breweries and you get people there, it's a bash. What the hell?
I mean, seriously, and people are just having a blast. Like. The record store show was like in the record store. There was no stage. It's just you're on the floor. And that was one of the shows where I'm playing with Tommy, Metal Merchants, and the kids just like ate it up. I mean, it was just amazing. And that was awesome. We played Acadia in Houston, which is a really cool place. Like they have like this pro light and sound rig that they just got. And, I mean, they got like strobes and like lasers and fog machines and all this stuff, and like even if the turnout's not all that great, it's like one of those dream come true venues to play just in the band,
I know you purposely route that next time to shoot a video.
Exactly
it's like the half the 3/4 of the stage production is here for us,
right? So it's and the guy that runs sound, Tommy Skinner, has been doing it forever. And he's a really funny guy and real sarcastic, and he loves us, thankfully. But it's cool playing these shows like this that we can get to meet these people and go back, because we've played that place in Houston a couple times now, and it's just cool making all these cool connections. And that's what it's all about for me, and I think for the rest of the guys as well, is making cool networking and it's making all these cool, playing all these cool places and meeting new fans and all that stuff. It all kind of snowballs, and hopefully it's a good outcome.
All right, well, Richie, anything you want to say to the audience before we get out of here? It's great talking with you. We can talk for hours.
John. Well, I hope we can hook up for something in Rochester. That would be amazing. I'm glad you brought that up.
best way for people to get your product? Bandcamp, gravehuffer.com. What's the easiest direct route?
gravehuffer.bandcamp.com. That's my first go-to for everything. And we sell merch on there. And we've got like posters and vinyl and CDs and patches and beard oil and all kinds of shit up there. So, you know, all kinds of fun stuff, stickers, you know, all that good stuff. And it's all like cheap punk rock prices, you know, so, you know what I mean?
And listeners, shout out Richie on Facebook. He'll answer you.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Start the community.
Yeah. I mean, I try to be as responsive as possible. And even on the band page too, you know, I'm like, my phone's up my ass half the time. So I feel like, you know, I'm trying to be as responsive as I can. And cause I know the feeling, you know, you try to reach out to somebody and you're left on read forever. And it's like, wow, you know, way to be a dick.
Yeah.
But you know, it's like, I don't know. Why even have the capability to contact somebody if you're just not going to like respond? So I feel like I try to treat people how I want to be treated. So yeah, that's pretty much it, I guess.
All right, cool. So again, the band Grave Huffer, the album Necro Occlusion, check them out. Richie, thanks for spending your afternoon with me.
Thanks, John. I appreciate you having me, man. It's been a blast.
Okay, we'll talk soon, buddy.
All right, man. Take care.
See ya.
See ya.
Metal for Life.
Thanks for listening to Metal Mayhem ROC. Check out our websites at metalmayhemroc.com and metalforever.com for information on upcoming concerts, podcasts, archives, and all sorts of info. Please like, follow, and share with everyone,
even your non-metal friends.
Catch us next time on WLFE DB Radio.